Hey, I'm going to tell you a little something about Islam. I prayed with these fellas for 10 years, off and on. And I'm going to tell you something. Muslims are always playing the, I'm a little innocent lamb. Oh no. Let me tell you something. Last I heard from them boys, when I stopped going to prayer with them, they called me up and you know what they told me? Edward, if you're not going to prayer and it's because you're ignorant, you don't know you should be in prayer, then we should educate you properly and you should return to your prayers. But if you're not going to prayer and you know you should be in prayer, then we should execute you. And the man hung up on me. That's how brutal, ruthless these boys are. I'm going to tell you something, ain't no shame in my game. I went there looking for God. You know what those niggers did to me? I was in a masjid one time. Now, I'm a software programmer, and sometimes my software is worth a little green, worth a little money. And those men wanted my software. They asked me, would I give them a copy of my software? Hey, this is my business. This is what I do for a living. I'm not just going to give it away. I told the man I couldn't do it. I was very polite about it. I said, I can't do that. And you know what he did? He invited me to prayer at another masjid later that day, I think it was. And after prayer, I stood in the prayer line next to this man. And after prayer, we went into this small room to have some food, which is a common thing for Muslim men in a masjid. They go in and, you know, usually, in most cases, it's going to be chicken and rice. Chicken biryani. Very popular dish amongst these men. And they handed me a single serving plate. You know, a little 12-inch, 10-inch, 12-inch round picnic plate. And I should have noticed, because when you're in a room with half a dozen men, Muslim men eat multiple men to one plate. Everybody digging in the same plate. But they handed me a single serving plate with a piece of chicken and some rice. I just took it and I ate the chicken. And I want to tell you something, I was well rested when I went to this prayer. Okay, I was well rested. I was not sleepy. When I ate this chicken, the knockout drugs that they had injected into the chicken kicked in really fast, and my head went down. You go out in about 15 or 20 seconds from the time it kicks in. It just knocks you the hell out. And when I woke up, you wake up just as fast as you went out. And when I woke up, I kind of knew what had happened. So it ain't going to do no good for me to run over and check my laptop bag. I had it with me. And so I sat up and gathered my wits about me. And then I reached over and I opened up the center pouch. In the center pouch should have been two power cables coiled up with the Velcro strap wrapped around it. Nope. They were jumbled up and thrown in there. Somebody had been into my bag, undone the power cables, and then just shoved them back in there. My laptops were inserted differently than how I insert them. These men drugged me and robbed me inside of a masjid. You with me? You know what I did about it? Nothing. I mean, if they were brazen enough to rob me and drug me, God knows what they would do if I sat there and accused them of stealing from me. I had no way to really prove it. I mean, you know, my word against theirs. But you know what? About a year later, I said, man, I've given this enough time. I said, I'm going to talk to some people. I called the Islamic Society. Those people called me a liar and hung up on me. I ain't lying. I'm going to tell you what, I ain't lying. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. Every stinking thing I ever did with these people was corruption and dishonesty. I remember when I first ran into this guy, the one that robbed me. He ran a big computer company down here in Houston. And I went to work for his company designing an e-commerce website. And it wasn't fancy or anything, but it was back in the early days of e-commerce. And I remember when I went to work there, I struck the deal up with the guy. And then he told me, he said, "Hey, Edward, if you need any parts or anything, you go talk to my brother. He'll get it for you." I said, okay. So within a day or two, I needed a network card for the computer. And so I went down and I found the brother of his. And I said, "Hey, your brother told me to come talk to you if I needed any parts. I need a network card." And he said, "Okay, I'll get you one." He went and got me a network card. He brought me a network card with no box, no bag, no paperwork, no nothing. And you know, nowadays network cards are integrated into the motherboards usually. Unless you got a gaming system, maybe. But back then you had jumper switches, and you know, it comes with at least a little piece of paper. It was showing you jumper switch. I had to look all that stuff up. I spent a couple days upstairs fiddle futzing with those jumper switches, looking on the internet, using another computer, trying to figure out what was going on with these jumper switches, and I couldn't get a spark out of it. And you know what? I went back downstairs. I was kind of embarrassed that I couldn't get this thing working. And I told the man, the brother, I told him, I said, "You know, I can't get this card working." He said, "No problem. I'll get you another one." And he went and got me another network card. No box, no documentation, no nothing. So I went upstairs and I fiddle farted around with this card for a couple days. Couldn't get anything out of it. I came back downstairs again and I told the man, I said, "I'm so sorry, I can't get this card working either." And he said, "No problem, I'll get you another one." This time, I watched him out of the corner of my eye. Where did he go to get that network card? And so when he brought me the network card, you know what I did? I took it upstairs and put it on my desk. And then I came back downstairs to the place where he had retrieved that network card from. You know what was there? A big cardboard box with a bunch of junk circuit boards in it. And on the outside of the box, it was marked defective parts. Yeah. These niggas was giving me defective network cards. Okay? You know what? I should have just walked out of the company. But I was like, you know what? I got a good sense of humor. I'm going to roll with this shit. I'm going to finish this job. So anyway, another thing happened. I was up there in the computer room working on this website. And this really nice looking Middle Eastern man walks in. Dressed in $1 million suit. I mean, he looked like a banking gangster. Okay? He looked good. And he looked at me and described himself as a computer consultant. And he told me, he said, "Edward, I'm a computer consultant. I'd like to present you with a problem and see how you solve it." I said, "Okay, go ahead." And so he described this really simple problem, like renaming a subdirectory. You know, I mean, it couldn't have been any more simple of a problem. And so I turned around, I said, "Okay." I turned around, clickety, 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 click on the keyboard. I turned around, I said, "Okay, I'm done." And he said, "Nope, that's not how we do things around here." I said, "It's not. I solved the problem." He said, "That's not how we do things." I said, "How do you do things?" He said, "First, we form a team. Then, we put together a PowerPoint presentation and an Excel chart, and then we bring the client in and explain to him that it's going to take 6 weeks to solve the problem. And we put some planned failures into the system to guarantee future revenue." Okay? Oh, needless to say, I don't want to work for this MF. Okay? That ain't the way big dog rolls. Okay, I'm an old school programmer. I've been programming since 83. I've been doing C language since 91. Okay, I'm not in this to scam people. You feel me, my niggas? I am not in this to scam people. Okay? So, I mean, every single business thing that I ever did with these men was a ripoff. I mean, if it was just that they were vicious businessmen, I'd be like, okay, but giving me circuit boards out of the junk box? Just wasting my time? Okay, I mean, I could even overlook that. But drugging me and robbing me inside of a masjid, and then calling me a liar and hanging up on me, I want to tell you fucking people something. They drugged me with knockout drugs and stole my shit while I was knocked out. I'm going to tell you what. When I was going to prayer with them, after this event of me being drugged and robbed, I even overlooked that for a minute. I just said, let me just keep going on what I'm doing. These idiots got it in their heads that I was a double agent for the FBI. Let me tell you niggas something. I'm a twice convicted felon. I never actually went to the big house. I did my time in the county jail. But I'm a twice convicted felon. I'm very well behaved today, and I'm very honest today. Okay? And even back then, I was either in criminal mode or I was in Mr. Nice Guy mode. Okay? I didn't mix the two. Okay? But these niggas got it in their head that I was a double agent for the FBI. I'd be sitting at the cafe next to the mosque, and a fella would come up, sit with me at the table at the cafe, make small talk. You know, I read body language like an ace. Okay? I can tell when you're just coming up and, you know, you're really being friendly with me, or you're just making small talk because you got another agenda. So anyway, they're making small talk with me, and then they look at me, and you know what they say? Edward, some of the guys are talking. And I say, well, what are they talking about? Well, they're saying you're a double agent for the FBI. I would look back at him and I'd go, you know, that's probably the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. You should have seen the look on his face when I responded that way. I mean, I told him, I said, you know what? And I would say it just like this. I would say, you know, the Bureau is not going to send a mole in here to infiltrate one that looks like me. White, Caucasian, pasty white, that looks like he just got thrown out of a Ku Klux Klan rally. No. FBI is not going to send somebody like me to infiltrate Pakistanis. No, they're going to send a Pakistani. Or they're going to send an Arab, or they're going to send an African, or maybe an Indonesian. But they're going to send somebody that's just going to walk right in and fit in. Right? They're not going to send somebody like me. Does that make sense? Sorry, I'm dying of COPD. So So they did this little thing in the cafe, like, I don't know, two or three times, where they would accuse me of being a double agent for the FBI. And I'm sitting there, and I'm not going around questioning them about it. I just let it roll off my shoulders. I thought maybe they just didn't like me. They were trying to insult me and run me off. But then this one guy, this Pakistani boy, he showed up and he was hanging out on the back porch of the cafe a lot. And I could tell he's giving me some eat shit and die looks, man. He did not like me. He was giving me some dirty, dirty looks. And he started going into this little rant. He would say, and he's sitting in front of a good half a dozen, six or eight other conservative-looking Muslim men. And he would say, this is what he would say. He would say, I hate Donald Trump. I hate him. I want to poison Donald Trump. I want to poison his wife. I want to poison his children. And I'm just standing over there about 10, 15 feet away. And I'm just acting like I don't even hear anything. Got my stupid hat on, you know, trying to... you know, I do that naturally, you know. And after he would say this thing where he hates Trump, hate and wants to poison Trump, wants to poison Trump's wife, wants to poison his children, and he says, I'll never give up. Then he would look over at me, and he would say, and I hate the FBI. Bastards! Bastards! That's what he would say. I mean, this dude was fucking cooking, man. He was... God, I'm surprised blood wasn't shooting out of his fucking ears. And, I mean, these people, I'm going to tell you what they did. One time I was in the masjid, and they got a bulletin board in there. And there was a note on the bulletin board that they had a room for rent in the apartment complex next door. Pretty much an all-Muslim apartment complex. And they had a room for rent. So I thought, great, I can go to prayer, go right to my room, come back, go right to my room, come back. So I call this boy and I say, Assalamu alaikum, nice brother, how are you? I'm calling about your room for rent. And he cut me off. He's like, call me back tomorrow. I'm only exaggerating that a little bit. He was nasty to me. He wasn't nice. Not at all. So I called him back the next day. I said, Assalamu alaikum, nice brother. How are you? Calling about your room. I talked to you yesterday. You know what he said to me? I want to wait for a Pakistani. And he hung up on me. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you something else. I was hanging with these two conservative-looking Muslim men. We was doing the Tablighi Jamaat thing. We was going out and staying overnight at the masjid and visiting men that stopped going to prayer. We'd call on them at their apartment or house. And you know, these men were just shining these fellas on. When we'd show up and these men would be like, hey, we miss you. You're not at prayer anymore. Men were just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. But they're scared to say, no, I ain't coming back, bro, because that's a death penalty offense. You understand what I'm saying? That's a death penalty offense. Okay? Anyway, these fellas... Now, I'm speaking harshly right now. But when I was around them, I spoke with a soft tone. Very nice. Okay? When they dropped me back off at the masjid, they had it in their head. They'd heard the rumor that I'm a double agent for the FBI. Did they say anything to me? Nah, but they knew. I could tell. They thought I was an undercover spy. I mean, like, when did I get that promotion? Okay, when they dropped me back off at the masjid, you know what they told me? they were boiling inside. They said, Edward, do you know that when Islam controls an area, no Muslim will ever be charged or convicted or jailed for killing a non-Muslim? I was like, well, I'll make a note of that. And then they gave me another lesson. They said, Edward, if you're in your house, and the house on one side of you is owned by a Muslim, and the house on the other side is owned by a non-Muslim, and both houses catch on fire, which fire do you put out? Of course, I can tell where they're going with this. I know what they want. So I looked at them and I said, well, put out both fires. They said, nope. They said, put out the Muslim fire. And they turned around and walked away from me. They were disgusted with me. Yep, they were freaking pissed. And those niggers drugged me and robbed me inside of a masjid. Now, the funny thing is, the software they were after was some trading software. And, I had a falling out with a previous partner who, he's kind of a gambling addict. I didn't know it. He was the chief financial officer at the company I worked at. And when I developed this software, he went so nuts over it. Fuck, he just took control of it. And once you got it in your possession, I can't get it back. Okay. I don't know if you're running it in your private bedroom and all this. And he gave me 10 grand, basically told me to fucking flip off. And, you know, what choice do I have? And so I told this Muslim man about it, you know, that the guy had given me 10 grand, told me to piss off. And that's when he stole my software. And so I'm going to tell you something. When these Muslims are all like,
oh, poor little me, we've been in Palestine all along.
No, I don't believe shit they say. I don't believe a fucking word they say. Not a damn fucking word. I want to tell you something. Islam is commanded by the Quran to conquer you. It is commanded to either, you have three choices. Like they told me, if I stop going to prayer and I don't know I should be going to prayer, then they should educate me and I should return to my prayers, or I should be executed. Well, there's actually three options. One, you convert willingly and go to your prayers. If you don't do that, you pay a tax to Islam and you shut the hell up and stay out of our way. And the third option, you're not going to like. You go to the graveyard. You will be killed. So you either join Islam, or you pay a tax to Islam, or you get your throat cut. And I want to tell you something. I am under a death threat right now. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Okay? And Muslims, they told me themselves. These two men that I did this Tablighi Jamaat thing with, they were university-educated medical doctors. These weren't some damn screwball little, you know, clerk at the corner store. These were medical doctors that told me that if the house on the left of you catches on fire and the house on the right catches on fire, one house owned by a Muslim, one house owned by a non-Muslim, put out the Muslim fire and that's it. They ain't got no love for nobody. And you want to know something? I'm going to tell you something. That really is an incorrect interpretation of Islam. I want to tell you something. I studied Islam. Okay? And I want to tell you something. Muhammad was literally a peaceful man. They call them hadiths, but they're stories. There's a hadith about a lady that used to throw garbage at Muhammad when he'd walk by her place. Okay? He would throw garbage at her. Bam! Bam! You know what he did? Nothing. He didn't retaliate. He didn't say, hey, F you, bitch. No. He didn't do nothing. And one day he walked by. She didn't throw anything at him. You know what his first thought was? I better go check on her to see if she's okay. Okay? So this really was a peaceful man. This wasn't the money-hungry, grubbing pigs that drugged me and robbed me. Okay? Those men technically they committed a capital offense in Islam. They technically committed a capital offense that only I can forgive them for. They don't give a shit. Okay? I'll tell you another example of what he was like. He's in his little prayer hall, his little place of worship. This guy walks in, opens up his pants or whatever the hell he was wearing, pulls out his junk and starts pissing on the floor. A lot of the guys in the prayer with him, they wanted to throw this guy out. You know what Muhammad said to him? This is how the story goes. Muhammad said, no, leave him alone. Let him do what he's doing. And when the man finished peeing and left, Muhammad went and cleaned up the mess himself. These are two examples that show you the mentality of this man. It is not the mentality of these pigs that robbed me and drugged me and told me, oh, don't put out non-Muslims' fire. Oh, bullshit. Eat me. You know what? There's another example. Muhammad was not a rich man. I think he had a moment of prosperity in his life. But when he was poor, his wives looked at him and they said, hey, bro, we ain't got no food in the house, bro. We hungry, bro. You got to do something, bro. I mean, they didn't say it like that, but that's basically what they said. I mean, if you don't feed women, they start coming unscrewed. You know what? You know what he told them? When his wives complained that they didn't have any food in the house, he looked at them and he said, do you want your reward now or later? Kind of hard to argue with that, isn't it? That's what he told them. Do you want your reward now or later? Oh, which reminds me, there was one time in the masjid where I called about that room for rent, and the guy told me he wanted to wait for a Pakistani. I was sitting out front of the masjid on after the Friday prayer, and I didn't have any money to eat. They were selling food right in front of the masjid. And this one man looked at me and he said, hold on, I'll get you something. You know what this idiot brought me? He brought me a small brown paper sack with a single piece of bread in it and handed it to me and gave me a shit-eaten grin. I said, oh, thank you. So everyone else is sitting there eating big food and this ass brings me a piece of bread in a brown paper bag. I want to tell you something. The stories about Muhammad, if this man was starving to death and you walked in, he invited you to eat from his plate with him. He didn't bring you no stinking piece of bread. He let you share whatever he was eating. That was the story of Muhammad. The story of Muhammad is that he met an angel in a cave. I'm not going to go into details, but that's the beginning of this religion. If that is true, then the religion is true. If it's not, then it's not. Okay? Anyway, I was drugged and robbed. Those niggas laughed at me, hung up on me, and called me a liar. Let me tell you people something. I'm a twice convicted felon. I've sat with the biggest mafia in the world. Yeah. You know Chapo Guzman, the guy that's in ADX Supermax right now? I had a private sit-down with Chapo's boss. Yeah, me and the boss. There goes my little retarded girlfriend again. Hold on, that'll quit in a second. She's been calling me for like a year, man. She calls me every day.
Voicemail, I'm sick, call me.
No, I'm not interested. I don't want to talk to her. I tried to tell her, you know. She don't listen. She keeps calling me. And for like a year. What persistence. Holy moly. I can't remember what I was talking about now. When I listen to this stuff about Palestine, I can just tell you, there ain't a word comes out of their mouth that's true. They're given permission by the Quran to lie to you if it furthers their goals in Islam. And if you get in the way of what they're doing, they can and will come and kill you, and there will be no penalty for them amongst the Muslim community. Damn, I hope y'all are having a nice day. Peace out.